Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord, everybody. We are happy to be with you all on today. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. Yes, we are here live right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network. We thank God for being here on today. Amen. First, giving honor to God, who is the head of my life, in Jesus' name. Giving honor to the watchman on the wall of this network. Amen. Apostle Cook, in Jesus' name. God bless you, in Jesus' name. We're going to jump right into it. Also, giving honor to my pastor and my First Lady, Pastor William Tuggle, and First Lady Cosette Tuggle, in Jesus' name. And giving honor to all of the Spirit Alive family, in Jesus' name, and all of the Triumph and Faith Apostolic Assembly family. God bless you all, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to jump right into this because I'm all the preliminaries, I'm getting them out the way, because we have a dynamic topic today. The Lord has commissioned me to do this today. I'm going to be obedient unto the Holy Ghost. I had a topic that I wanted to do today, and the Lord said, no. I want you to give insight on my word. I said, okay. And this is where this is coming from. I'm just giving you a little outline on why the Lord gave me this topic today. He said, I want you to give an outlook on why I do things. And one of these things, the main thing that I'm doing, is I'm giving salvation. The main purpose of my word is salvation, holiness, righteousness. This is the main purpose of the word of God, so that men might come unto salvation. It is not about the cars and the clothes and the houses on a hill. It's not about all the money. It's not about how you shout. It's not about how you speak in tongues, and even though that is important, the praises of God are important because that's one of our weapons. Yes, speaking in tongues is important because that is the evidence that a man or woman or child, that is the evidence to let us know that salvation has come. That is important. But for the church, the main objective is salvation. The main objective of God's word is salvation. So God wanted us to know today the forecast of salvation. There is a forecast in the word of God. And I say for it, and I'm like, Lord, well, why would you say forecast? Don't this sound like the weather or something? And the Lord showed me, the Lord had me watching the news yesterday when I came home from work. I didn't work yesterday. I worked, but I didn't work, y'all. I came home, and the news was on. And I started watching the news, and right then and there, the Lord the weatherman came on and started showing the weather, and at the top it was giving the forecast for the week in Indianapolis, and it said forecast. I'm like, okay. And the Lord said, I want you to give the forecast to salvation, okay, which is telling us forecast means that it is telling us what's going to happen in the future, but about the weather, what the weather is going to be like the next several days and the next weeks. That is a forecast. So the forecast to salvation, God gave us a forecast to salvation in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And I'm going to show you through the Word of God. And I'm going to start off with this. I'm going to start off in the Old Testament where God told me to start at. In Joel chapter 2, verse 27, Joel chapter 2, amen. This is the start of the forecast for salvation. And you might say, well, or you could say the forecast to Pentecost. You might say, well, didn't we just celebrate Pentecost? Yeah, we did. We just celebrated Pentecost Sunday. But Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, was the day of salvation. Salvation was extended unto man. All right? So I just wanted to throw that nugget out there. All Bible scholars, you know, y'all know this. I'm not saying something that y'all don't know. But in Joel chapter 2, starting at verse number 27, it reads, "And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed." And I like this verse. This is the forecast right here to salvation. This is the start of it. This is where the prophet Joel, the Lord was giving him what to say. Now watch this. In verse 28, this is the forecast for salvation. Now, this is the forecast leading up to the day of Pentecost. Okay? It reads, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out my spirit." Now, verses 28 and 29 show us that this is the forecast unto Pentecost. This is the forecast unto Pentecost. Now, Pentecost hasn't happened yet. Jesus wasn't on the scene yet. So Jesus hadn't come yet. Jesus hadn't died yet. So salvation, this right here, was around the time that when man would sin, they would go to the priest, give their confessions, you know, do all of this, and the high priest used to go into the holies of holies and give the sacrifice to cover man's sin. It didn't deliver them from sin. But they used to give animal sacrifice unto God to cover their sins. And I hear some preachers say, and I want to bring this out. I hear some preachers say they do away that, you know, we don't have to do the Old Testament anymore. You know, that's old school, we only got to do the New Testament. Well, let me tell you something. You need the old with the new. And any person that tells you that you don't need the Old Testament, they're lying. Because the Bible says that we should not add nor take away from the Word of God. That's number one. And number two, we need the Old Testament because the Old Testament is Christ concealed. The New Testament is Christ revealed. This is concealed. This verse, these two verses that I read in verse 28 and 29, this is concealed. This would be considered as concealed. What Joel was talking about has been concealed because it has not been revealed unto man yet. So we need the Old Testament to show us what the New Testament looked like. Amen. If Joel hadn't brought this out, what the Lord gave to Joel, if Joel hadn't brought this out, and if it wasn't in the Old Testament, we wouldn't know what the Lord had to say in the Old Testament about the forecast of salvation. We need the Old Testament. Okay? I just wanted to bring that out. Now, as we read in verse 28 and 29, we see that the Lord will, he said, in those days he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. This is what he's going to do to free man. Now watch this. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verses 16 and 18. Now watch this. Now, when we look in Acts, Joel was nowhere to be found. Joel had died. Joel was gone. Now watch this. I want you to see this in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verses 16 and 18. And I want you to see this because I want you to understand what the Lord is saying to us about salvation. Because every day is a day of salvation. Amen. In Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 16, it says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it came, and it shall come to pass in the last days. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Verse 18, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now, this is fast forward talking about Acts 2 and 38. This is Peter addressing what Joel said in the Old Testament. Amen. This is Peter addressing what Joel said in the Old Testament. Amen. When we look at this, This is the reason why we need salvation. We need salvation throughout the world. God is pouring out. This also shows us that we are living in the last days, because it says, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now, the start of the last days, this shows us that the start of the last days began at the day of Pentecost, because he poured out his spirit on the day of Pentecost. This shows us that the last days began, that two things began, the church and the last days. Now, watch this. I want you to see this, that why did Peter preach about salvation. First of all, God commanded his disciples to preach and to baptize in his name. Matthew 28:19, right? A lot of people believe, some people believe that Matthew 28:19 is a form of baptism. It is not. It is the Great Commission. Commission in military term means command. He commanded his disciples in Matthew 28:19 to go and preach and teach and baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I know it says in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, watch this. We know who the Father is. We know who the Son is. We know who the Holy Ghost is. It's all Jesus. How do I know? If we look in Matthew 1:21, we'll know that the Son is Jesus. The Son is Jesus. If we look in John 10:30, we will know that the Father is Jesus. Now, if we look in John 1:1 and 14, we know that the Father also is Jesus. And we know that the Son is Jesus. And if we look in John 14:26, we know that the Holy Ghost is Jesus. These are the scriptures that give us insight on what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 28:19. Matthew 28:19 says, "Go ye therefore, baptizing them in the teaching and preaching and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." He was commissioning his disciples. Now, watch this. But on the flip side of that, he gave Peter specific instructions. He gave Peter specific instructions to go and preach. It was Peter that preached the apostles' doctrine. It was Peter that preached salvation. I want to back up real quick. Hold on. If we look in the book of John, chapter number 8, in the book of John, before I go into why Jesus chose Peter, I want to show you this. In John 8:36. In John 8, because I want us to know, and the Lord wants us to know, the history of salvation. The history of salvation and why it's here, why we need it. Okay, in John 8:36, this is why God commanded his disciples to preach and teach in the name of Jesus. Watch this. In John 8:36, it says, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Jesus was the one that died on the cross to set us free. If we look in John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Everlasting life is being set free. It is through the Son, it is through the name of Jesus that we are to be set free from our sins. It is through the name of Jesus that we are to be set free from our problems, our issues, the issues of life. It is the name of Jesus. This is why Matthew 28:19, when Jesus told his disciples to go and preach and to teach in his name, amen, and to baptize in his name, because it is his name that delivers. We just read it right here. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. It is the name of Jesus that sets us free. It is the name of Jesus. You cannot use any other name. There is no other name. The Bible says there is no other name given among men whereby we must be what? Saved. That's not just, and I know that's talking about salvation, but it's also talking about the problems of our life. When we call upon the name of Jesus, different areas in the Bible where they use the name of Jesus, where the disciples used the name of Jesus and things happened. They prayed in the name of Jesus. They praised in the name of Jesus. They worked in the name of Jesus, and things happened. Things started to shift in people's lives. People were healed. They laid hands on the sick in the name of Jesus, and they recovered. This is why we use the name of Jesus. So I just want to point that out. Why did God bring us salvation? Because of man's sin. Because of man's sin, this is the reason why salvation was extended unto man. Now I'm going to show you. This is why he forecast salvation. Because in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, and I want to go there, because I'm going to show you what brought on sin. Okay? In Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Then we're going to go to Genesis chapter 3. All right? Because I want to show you that this is where man messed up. It wasn't God that messed up. It was man that messed up. I'm going to make that perfectly clear. It was not God that messed up. It was man that messed up because I say that because there are a lot of people that blame God for the things that are going on in the world now. We said last week, I believe it was last week, that some of the things that are going on in the world is not because of God. All the stuff that is happening is not because of God. Mainly it's because of us. Either we're not doing what we need to do, we are doing what we should do in the eyesight of God, or we're making poor decisions. And I'm going to show you, our poor decision-making as mankind can bring detriment to our life. It can, and I'm going to show you. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, Genesis chapter 2, starting at verse 16. And we're going to read verse 17 as well. All right? It reads, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." I'm sorry, y'all. "But of the tree of the knowledge of good in evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now, we see the word right here. We see the word right here in verse 16. "And the Lord God commanded the man." Who is the man? Adam. He's talking to Adam. He commanded him. He didn't ask him. He didn't say, "Well, if you feel like doing it." No, he said, "I do not want you to do this. Don't do that." Just like a parent telling their child to not do something, this is what took place with Adam. This is what took place with Adam. Now watch this. He said, I'm going to read it again. He said he gives you permission. God commanded, saying, every tree of the garden thou mayst freely eat. He gave them permission. He gave us permission to have a good life. He gave us permission to have, and I'm using this in modern time today. I know it says that he gave a command to the man that he could freely eat of the garden, okay? He gave us full command that we can live our life freely. Freely. Amen? We can go here, we can go there, we can do this, we can do that, as long as it's in the confines of what God wants us to be, in his will. As long as we're in his will, we're good. As long as it's not stepping outside of the will of God, we're good. As long as we're not sinning, we're good. We can do it. Now, watch this. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. He commanded Adam not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He gave him one instruction. He gave man one instruction. Sometimes God gives us God gives us a couple of instructions, and then we ready to just, okay, we ready to go ham. God told you to do this, and he's like, oh, wait a minute, God didn't tell me to do that. God didn't tell me to do that. I know God didn't tell me to do it. Yes, he did. He did too. He told you. You just didn't want to listen. That's what brings detriment to our life, because we don't want to listen. Now watch this. Genesis chapter 3. This is where brought detriment unto man. For our disobedience, for man's disobedience, under God's command, it brought detriment unto the life of mankind. Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. And it reads, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now, that's the first lie right there. That's a lie right there. Even in the first verse, that's a lie. God told you that if you eat of this, you're going to die. Now, one of y'all is lying, either the serpent lying. Now, why would you listen to an animal? Because the serpent was an animal. You're going to listen to the thing that was created by God. I don't mean to sound male chauvinistic or whatever, you know, I don't mean to sound harsh, but that was dumb. It was dumb for a person, and I'm not just going to say the woman, but people to listen to an animal or to a thing to tell you what God's done already told you not to do. And somebody tells you, oh, no, God didn't say that. I don't think you should do that. Oh, no, do it this way. And you're going to listen to them? You're listening to the creation instead of the creator? You standing right there watching God create stuff, God giving you dominion over stuff. He gave you dominion over the creation, but yet you're going to listen to the creation. And a lot of people do that. They listen to the creation instead of the creator. Come on here. A lot of people listen to the creation instead of the creator. Uh-oh. Yes, sin can be created. Did you know that? Sin could be created. Sin was created. When Adam sinned, when Adam chose to be disobedient, sin was created. It was a detriment unto man. And guess what? God was right. Because eventually, Not only did Adam die spiritually, he died physically. Do you know if Adam had not have listened to what was being told to him, that we could have lived forever? There was no death. There was no death on the face of the earth until after Adam sinned. There was no death. There was no physical death. There was no spiritual death. Everything was perfect until Adam chose to be disobedient unto God. Now, in verse number 5, it says, "For God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Now, that's messed up. I'm breaking this down as the Lord gives it to me. Why would you want to be? I had somebody one time. I was working at a job, and I had one of my coworkers come and tell me that they were a god. And I'm like, okay. Because they asked me, well, why am I serving Jesus when you're a god? And I said, I was looking, I said, I am. I looked at him, and I looked at the person, I said, I am. He said, the person said, oh, yeah, you are. You're a god, I'm a god, and da-da-da-da-da. I said, okay, wait a minute. I said, you're a god, right? You think you're a god. And the person said, yeah, I'm a god. I said, okay. Do you have all power and authority to give yourself life? That's the first question I asked him. I said, do you breathe in the morning? And they said, yeah, I breathe. You know, I get up and stuff. I said, but do you have the ability to choose when you're going to die? They said, no, I don't. I said, then you're not a god. Because the God that I serve has the ability to choose when and where I'm going to die. If I shall live, I'm going to live. If he says die, I'm going to die. If he says live, I'm going to live. If he says, if he tells the devil to back up off me, the devil got to back up. That's what kind of God I serve. And then I brought out this too. I said, if you are God, what about all your dreams in life that you have to set for yourself? I said, why haven't you reached them if you're this all-powerful God yet? Why are you working with me here? And they just looked at me. I said, your power is unlimited. Your power is limited. The God I serve has unlimited power. So that's a lie. I'm not a God. Nope. Now, I have abilities that God has given me to do things. God gives us all abilities in the human body to do things, to do this, to do that. Man can do great, great exploits with or without the Holy Ghost, because the body was made that way. Give us strength to do things, give us strength to, you know, physical strength to lift things and everything. You know, you see some children doing weightlifting. That's an amazing thing. For you see a 4-year-old, 5-year-old child doing weightlifting, I've seen this. That's an amazing thing. You don't usually see that, right? That's an amazing thing. That's an ability that person has, right? But you're not a god because you have that ability. You might have the ability to speak eloquently. That does not make us a god, all right? So now, since this brought on sin, now watch this. I want to get to the key part of this. I want you to see the key part of this. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. and gave it also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. That right there in verse number 6 brought sin unto the world. The end of verse number 6. That is what brought all detriment unto the world. Because of Adam doing what God commanded him not to do. Yes, it wasn't the serpent that tempted him. Because some people say, oh, it was the serpent that tempted Adam. No, it wasn't. Actually, nobody actually want to quote unquote say tempted him. His wife gave it to him. He said, here. And he just gave in. Now, I can imagine that to Adam, you know, that's his wife, and he, you know, his beautiful wife, and he thinks that he's being, you know, told something good from his wife and everything. But sometimes people will tell you stuff that you can't, when God tells you to do something and people tell you, no, God didn't say that or don't do it that way, don't you listen to them. Don't you listen to them. Good example, Job. Job's wife told him to curse God and die. Did he listen? No. He said, you speak as a foolish woman. There are times in our life where we cannot listen to man nor things outside of the will of God. The will of God is for us to have salvation given to us, that we receive salvation. Now, in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, now, we saw in Genesis where Adam sinned, right? Now, watch this. Now, we fast forward to Romans in the New Testament. This is another reason why we do not get rid of the Old Testament. Amen? Let's look in Romans 5 in verse number 12. Let's see what that says. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. As I said earlier, there was no death. There was no death. That man did not die. There was no death. There was no sicknesses. There was nothing on the earth as far as being detriment to mankind until Adam sinned. And God, and even in God telling Adam, hey, if you eat this, you're gonna die. That was a forecast for Adam. To tell him, hey, if you eat that, you're going to die. And everybody else after you going to die. Spiritually and naturally. That's why we have death in the world. Funeral homes are filled up because of Adam. We got bodies in funeral homes because of Adam. You want to blame somebody? Blame Adam. And not me. Amen. But it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered unto the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Any person after Adam, they were tainted with sin because of Adam. If we look in the book of Psalms, David said from his mother's womb, in sin did my mother conceive me, which means I was born in sin. And the Bible says that in Psalms. David said, I was born and shaped in iniquity. Iniquity is sin. Now watch this. Let's go to Romans chapter 6, verse 23, because I like this verse right here. It shows us that sin brings death. Amen. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Like I said, salvation comes through the name of Jesus. Everything we need comes through the name of Jesus. It shows us right here in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. It said, for the wages of sin is death. That's spiritual death, and sometimes it can end up being natural death. I've seen people sin, and they died from their sins, and they died in sin. I've seen people commit a sin, couple months later, they dead physically. And they died in sin. They died spiritually, and they died naturally. This is a very serious thing. Amen. But it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal life. Life in general. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Life is in Jesus. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, do everything in my name, preach in my name, baptize in my name, teach in my name. And that's why in Colossians 3:17, it says, whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the what? The Lord Jesus. We have to do it in Jesus' name. This is the forecast of salvation, y'all. Amen. Now, since it talks about the wages of sin is death, what does that mean? What did sin do to us? It not only brings, what is the spiritual death? What is the spiritual death that sin brings? Because we talked about, we said that sin brings a natural, sometimes brings a natural death, but mostly a spiritual death. Let's go to Isaiah 59, and we'll see the spiritual death that it brings. Isaiah 59, because I want you to see the outline of why salvation came, why we have Pentecost. This is the outline. This is the forecast of why Pentecost came. In the book of Isaiah, And Isaiah 59. This shows us why Pentecost came. All right, I want you to see this. In Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. All right, and behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Now watch this. Verse 2 is the reason why salvation came. All right? This is the main focus right here in verse number 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Sin brought a separation between us and God. There was a relationship at the beginning between mankind and God. That relationship started with Adam in the Garden of Eden. When Adam sinned, it separated us. This is why salvation came. Okay, this is it right here. This is why salvation came in these two verses in the book of Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. This is why, mainly verse number 2. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. So our fellowship with Jesus Christ brought our sins brought a separation between my fellowship, your fellowship, man's fellowship, and Jesus Christ fellowshipping with us. Our fellowship could not be because there was sin in the camp. There was sin in our life. This is why God does not allow, because the Bible lets us know that light and darkness have no fellowship. I don't care who you are. I don't care what a denomination you come out of. I don't care what race you come out of. I don't care if you rich or poor. It does not matter. All must come unto salvation. Because the Bible says if you have not his spirit, you are none of his. And you might say, well, Minister Adam, you are being harsh. You're being harsh. You're being a little bit too harsh with that. God is a loving God. God is a loving God. He loves you so much that if you don't want to serve him, he'll let you be. He loves you so much that if you want to serve him, he said, "All come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden." But you got to lay the sin down. The Bible says, lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset you. He loves you so much, and it's not, and you know what, back in the day when I first got saved and started understanding the scriptures, I used to think that God sent people to hell. And then God had to minister to me and tell me, no, I don't send people to hell. They send themselves. They send their self. Every person that has lived and that has died and went to hell and that is in hell right now, they sent their self. And I hate to be so graphic with it, and I hate to sound so harsh about it, but this is the way it is. I'm not being harsh when I say that. And that's not my intent. But I'm just giving you truth. If you do not have salvation, if a person does not have salvation the way the Lord set it up, you will not see the kingdom of God. A man or woman, boy or girl, will not see the kingdom of God unless he be born again. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, he told Nicodemus that you must be born again of the water and the spirit. Matter of fact, I'll read it to you. And it reads, and I'm going to start at verse number 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus then said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time unto his mother's womb and be born? Nicodemus did not understand what Jesus was talking about. He thought it was a natural birth. No. Jesus wasn't talking about a natural birth. He was talking about a spiritual birth. This is what he said in verse number 5. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter unto the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Why did he say be born again? Because if we go back to Psalms where David said, in sin did my mother conceive me, that was your first birth. You were conceived in sin. This is why Jesus said, be born again of the water and the spirit, you have to take on a spiritual birth now. This was the forecast to salvation, y'all, or the forecast to Pentecost. This was it. Amen. Jesus, now, in Matthew 28:19, we established that God, that Jesus wanted his disciples to preach and teach and baptize in his name, right? Correct. Now, Jesus wanted Peter to preach salvation. And he preached this message. He preached salvation twice. There was two times where Peter preached Pentecost message, the day of Pentecost message, which is salvation. He preached it to the Jews, and he preached it unto the Gentiles. In both times, Peter preached, once on the day of Pentecost, those were nobody but Jews. If you were not a full-blooded Jew, which means born a Jew, you are considered as a Gentile. Me, I am considered as a Gentile. You are considered as a Gentile. See, if you are considered as a Gentile, you, as a Gentile, were engrafted into the forecast of salvation. Because the Bible says his own received him not. And because of them not receiving him, because the Jews, see, this is how it was all set up. The Jews were looking for the Messiah to come, and they're still waiting for the Messiah to come even after 2,000 years. Some of them are still waiting for the Messiah to come. And Jesus then already came. They were looking for a great ruler to come and free them. But Jesus came low. He came as a babe. He came as a baby. Grew up, and he preached and he teached. Amen. Jesus lived 33 years. 33 years. And in those 33 years, he worked. And in his ministry, he worked. But he came to free us. His main objective was to come to die for the sins of mankind so that we may have right to the tree of life. Now, fast forward to the day of Pentecost. Actually, wait a minute. Hold on. Back up. Let's go to the book of Matthew, because I said Jesus wanted Peter to preach salvation unto man so that they might be set free from their sins. Jesus wanted Peter, and I'm going to show you in the book of Matthew chapter 16. Now, I did say that Peter preached this message twice, unto the Jews and unto the Gentiles. But I want to show you that God gave Peter the command to preach salvation in Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19. And it reads, and these are the words of Jesus. And it reads, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Why did Jesus say this? If we look further up in verse, starting at verse Verse 13, Jesus asked the question, who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I am? Amen. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others say that thou art one of the prophets. But Jesus said unto them, but who say ye that I am? And Peter was bold. Peter was a bold man. That's why I believe, and it's my own personal opinion, this is why I believe God called Peter to preach the salvation message, because Peter was bold. Peter wasn't scared. Peter was not scared. You might say, well, didn't Peter deny him three times? Wasn't he scared to deny? Yeah, he was, but Peter was bold. Most of the time, Peter was bold. And he was bold in his statement, because Peter was the one that answered Jesus when he asked the second time, who do you say that I am? All the disciples were standing there, but Peter spoke up and said, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. And this is why Jesus gave him the command to preach, because of Peter's boldness. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. This is why in verse number 18 and verse number 19, he gave Peter command to preach on the day of Pentecost. He gave Peter command to preach on the day of Pentecost. And look, as he told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, you, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He was saying to be baptized in Jesus' name, but the message hadn't been preached yet. So everybody from Genesis up until, this is where people get it confused. Some people get it confused. Well, I have salvation. I ain't never been baptized before. Look, and you might say, well, Daniel didn't have the Holy Ghost and he was saved and all of them before the day of Pentecost, they didn't have the Holy Ghost. They died and didn't receive the Holy Ghost. So why can't I not be baptized and receive the Holy Ghost and not go to heaven? Because the Bible says so. Because everybody from Genesis up until the day of Pentecost was saved by their faith, because there was no Holy Ghost to be given out. Some of them, Jesus wasn't even on the scene. And some, like the thief on the cross died. But he made it in because he repented and he lived and he was under faith. His salvation came through faith and believing in God. But now God gave a requirement after, from the day of Pentecost up until now, he gave us a requirement because they did not have the Spirit rested on them, but it was not in them. People like Joel, people like Daniel, people like Moses, the Spirit came up on them, but it was not in them. The Spirit of God was not in them. Here, he wants to be in us to guide and direct us in life. Back then, the Spirit rested upon them to direct them and to guide them. But they didn't have power over sin. That's why they were given sacrifices. But when God became that ultimate sacrifice for sin, then came as we read in Joel and as we read in the book of Acts, that he poured out, that on the day of Pentecost, he poured out his spirit. He gave his spirit freely out unto man. And anybody that wants his spirit on the inside of them can receive it. Can receive it today until the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord, once the coming of the Lord happens, it stops. And those that have not received salvation will then have to die for their own sins. Which means the only way, and it's going to be harder than hard for you to make it. You think you can, you think you can't make it now? You wait until the, because the Spirit of the Lord, once the rapture takes place, and the word rapture is not in the Bible. But let me tell you this. There are, the word rapture means the catching away of the saints. Amen. And in the Bible, it talks about the catching away of the saints. Amen. It talks about it. We have biblical evidence to show that the rapture, the word rapture, which is the catching away of the saints, is found in the Word of God. But once the rapture takes place, God's spirit will be off the earth, and the devil will have full reign over the earth. He has partial reign over the earth right now, but with God's spirit on the earth, there are some things that the devil cannot do. But with God's spirit being off the earth, the devil will have full reign to do whatever he wants. That's why the Antichrist hasn't been revealed yet. For some people that believe that the Antichrist is on the earth now, and this is getting away from the subject, but the Antichrist is on the earth now. It just hasn't been revealed. He cannot reveal himself until after the rapture, until after the church has been taken off the earth. Some people believe that we are living in the tribulation period right now. We are not. We are not living in the tribulation period. And the reason why I can say that is because the tribulation is set for, is another name for tribulation is Jacob's trouble. Okay? This trouble is for the ones that did not receive him. We, the bride of Christ, have received him. Why in the world would he want us to go through a tribulation of trouble, which is Jacob's trouble, for the ones that did not receive him? Why would he put us through that when we've already received him? A husband, a good husband that loves their bride would not bring their bride any trouble. They would try to keep all problems and all trouble out away from their bride. And that's the same thing with Jesus, with us. He don't want us to be in the, that's why he died. If he wanted us to be part of the tribulation period, he wouldn't have died. It don't make no sense. Amen? So, as we see here, we see that Peter is the founding father. And I say the founding father of the Pentecostal message, because God gave him that right. He was the first voice for the Pentecostal message on that day. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and we all know it. We all know it. Amen. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, we all know what it is. We've read it before. Amen. And I'm going to read it again. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and then Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. This is the Pentecostal message. This is the salvation message. This is what will happen when a person receives the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I'll read it to you. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them clothing tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. Now, this first was for the Jews. Preach salvation unto the Jews. Amen. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. We all know this one. Verse 38 and 39. This is what Peter brought the message for. This is the instructions to receive salvation. Because this gets me every single time a preacher, they leave out Acts 2 and 38, but they begin to talk about Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. And they leave out Acts 2 and 38. I don't get it. You cannot say Romans chapter 10, verse 9. You can't do it. You got to have Acts 2 and 38 in there. Amen. Then Peter said unto them, this is the first part of salvation. Repent. That's the first step. The second step is be baptized. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. That's step two. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's step three. Just like they did on the day of Pentecost and what we read in Acts 1 and 8, that's the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, verse 39 says, For the promise is unto you and unto your children and unto all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. What does that mean? Man, woman, boy, and girl can be saved no matter what age group, no matter if you're rich or poor. That's why I said it earlier. It don't matter what. It did not say a religion. It did not say if you preach the Pentecostal message, say you are a Hindu and you preach Acts 2 and 38 and you baptize in Jesus' name, you're going to heaven. And you live right and you preach it and you get baptized in Jesus' name and you live holy up until either you see the grave or the rapture takes place, you're going to heaven. You're going to heaven. Now, I said that Peter preached this message twice. Once, first unto the Jews, and then unto the Gentiles. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. And then I'm going to get some comments from anybody who wants to leave a comment in Jesus' name. After I read this verse, I want to get some comments from the Spirit of Life family and those that would like to have a word in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 10, verse 40, starting at verse 44. At verse 44. And it reads, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were assigned as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see that right there in verse 40, verse 45. Because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and mightily God then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Amen. They had already received, and this is the house of Cornelius. All of the house of Cornelius was considered as Gentiles. This is when it was given to the Gentiles. Amen. They spoke in tongues. The house of Cornelius, Cornelius's house, everybody in Cornelius' house, Cornelius and everybody in there spoke in tongues and received the Holy Ghost. And then they were baptized in Jesus' name. Because it says it right here in verse 48, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. What's the name of the Lord? Jesus. Amen. This is why we do this. This is why we do this. I want to get some comments from our Spirit of Life family real quick. In Jesus' name, if anybody has a comment, you can leave it at this time. In Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord, Minister Togo. How are you, man?
Praise the Lord. I'm good. I'm good, sir.
I had a discussion about this recently, and one of the things that came up was how Adam was given everything. He was given everything, and it was all brand new and pristine, and he had dominion over all of it. And he had one command. One.
One.
And it's interesting because, you know, God says, you know, before the law there was no sin, but there was one law only. Do not touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was never God's will to live under sin, death, sickness, disease, or to even have to consider right and wrong and this or that or left or right. There was only dwelling in the presence of God and doing the work that God was doing with Adam in the garden. They were working together. And now to look at where we are and everything that God had to do, he tells us that he's given us privilege. So when I look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21 and 23, it says, therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Peter or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God. Mm-hmm. So there is ownership. And now, just as Adam was blessed with everything, look at what it says to us in Ephesians 1:3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all of spiritual blessings in heavenly places, right? God said, I set everything up here on earth for you perfect, and you transgressed and entered into sin. Now I'm going to use that as a way to give you all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I'm taking you up from that you let the devil talk you out of to something greater. Mm-hmm. It's now. And you, Jesus, wanted to get us to that place. So then, what he says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 is that, for he, God, who made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, God made Jesus Christ to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's amazing how say that people leave out Acts 2:38 and 39, when they share Romans 10:9 and 10, where it tells us to confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord of our life and believe in our heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And then, like it says in Acts 2:38 and 39, to repent, to turn away from serving sin, and to be water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, right? But they also leave out Acts 19:1 through 7, where it tells us to believe, to speak in tongues, and prophesy. Because now we're entering into that realm of the heavenly. We're entering into that realm of spiritual blessings and heavenly places and going from what we obviously rejected here on earth when we entered into sin, when we had one command. Adam had one command and not handle that, right? Now we go all the way to Romans 8:32 where he says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things, right? So God is giving us all things in heaven and earth. He is now saying, you know what? The devil may have talked you out of this, but I'm going to give it all. He said, the spiritual blessings in heaven are yours. And now we have to receive that. So I really appreciate you taking the time to share this word, and I just wanted to remind you of all the things that the scripture has given us so that we don't get talked out of what God has already blessed us with and paid for us to have, the way that Adam was talked out of or convinced to forfeit his blessings that were given to him. Thank you, man of God.
Amen. Amen. I thank God for all that was said, because all that you said, Bishop Carver, because it is important for us to make sure that when we talk about salvation, that we tell them how to receive it. Does anybody else want to leave a comment in Jesus' name? And then any one of our listeners want to leave a comment in Jesus' name? Anybody in the chat room, if you have a question or anything, I am happy to answer it as the Holy Ghost gives me the answer. Amen. Amen. But I want to bring this out before we wrap up. And I know that people in the body of in the church world, I'm going to say, some leave out Acts 2 and 38, as Bishop Carver brought out, and as it's been brought out here in today's topic. And they specify of Romans chapter 10, verse 9. And they leave out verse 10 also in Romans chapter 9. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9. They leave out verse number 10. But this is for us that are saved. It is for them that have received the Holy Ghost that we can do that. It is not a form of being saved. That does not grant you access to salvation. It's part of it, but it's after salvation, after you have received the Holy Ghost. You might say, well, why do you say that, Brother Adam? Well, because the Bible says in Acts 1 and 8, it says, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall have power, and ye shall be witnesses. That word right there backs up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. You might say, well, how? How does that back up Romans chapter 10, verse 9? You have the Holy Ghost to be able to confess, because after a man or woman receives the Holy Ghost, they have the power. They have the power, and they can testify of that power that they have. That's why it says that you shall be witnesses What is a witness? A testimony. What is a testimony? You're telling about what God has done for you. The confession is confessing that Jesus brought you out. You might say, well, I thought confession was confessing of your sins. It is. It is. But that's repentance. It goes back to Acts 2 and 38, because the first part of Acts 2 and 38, the first part in there is that Peter said unto them, repent, confess your faults. Once you confess your fault and receive the Holy Ghost, then you can confess about the name of Jesus. Then you can talk about how he delivered you. Then you can talk about how he saved you. Amen. And I want to go here real quick. I want to go here real quick before we wrap up, because we only got a couple minutes, but I want to go here real fast, because I want you to understand this. I want you to get it and understand it for yourself. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, what are you confessing about Jesus? He saved me. He gave me the Holy Ghost. He gave me power. And believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, you have believed the word of God. You have believed that Jesus rose from the dead like he said he would. But you also believe that he saved you. When you confess of the Holy Ghost, you believe that he has saved you from your sins. Now watch this. In verse number 10, it says, for the heart of man believeth unto righteousness. They leave out verse number 10. I don't know why they do that. But for the heart of man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You're talking about salvation. You're talking about salvation. You're talking about the experience that you have had, just like the day of Pentecost. That's what it is. Now watch this. I'm going to give you one more scripture. Let's go to John chapter 5, verse 39. You might say, well, what's John chapter 5, verse 39 got to do with anything? So I'm about to show you. John chapter 5, verse 39. It says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The scriptures are testifying about Jesus. What you think you have, when you say, well, you only have to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and you're saved. No, you're not reading the scripture right. What you think you have, you really don't have yet. What you think you have, you really don't have yet. But once you search the scriptures and you go through Acts 2 and 38, you go through Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and then Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39, and you act upon what you read, because belief is an action word. I can say all day that a chair can hold me up, but unless I sit in it, I don't have proof that it can hold me up or not. But what I believe and what I confess, that is what I'm going to do. I act upon what I believe. And then once I act upon it and God gives me the ability, God gives me the power, then I am a witness unto what happened. I can tell what happened to me. Then I can confess what happened to me. I got evidence. Just like a person brings forth evidence, they confess what they know. They confess what happened in that case. They bring forth that person that committed that crime, they just go on and confess. they go on and confess because they know that they did it. They got enough evidence to prove that they did it, so they just go on and confess, oh, yeah, I did it. It happened. That's the same thing with the Holy Ghost. We can confess that the Holy Ghost is real. That's why the Bible says in Acts 1 and 8, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What does that mean? After the Holy Ghost is in you, then you can confess what the power does for you. That's why it says witness. The Bible says greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. How do we know that? Because we confess it. We can confess that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. No drug can do this. That's why the songwriter says, Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. We're confessing it. Why? Because we know him for ourselves. That's why. This is why Romans chapter 10, verse 9 coincides with Acts 2 and 38. You cannot have Romans chapter 10, verse 9. You cannot just quote Romans chapter 10, verse 9, and leave it at that. You cannot do that. Because what are you confessing? If they have not had the Pentecostal experience, which anybody can receive the Pentecostal experience any day that they choose to, if they just take on salvation. So every, it's like the songwriter says, every day is a day of thanksgiving. Well, every day that a person lives, you can receive the Holy Ghost. You can receive salvation. This is the forecast of salvation. And this is it. This is what a person needs to be able to have life and have it more abundantly. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief came and stole our relationship with him. God brought us back together through salvation, through the day of Pentecost, through the Pentecostal experience, gave us life and that more abundantly. I hope you are blessed. I hope you got something out of this in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you in Jesus' name. And until next week, as my grandmother used to say, if you don't see me again, and since we're on the radio and you can't see me, if you don't hear my voice again, I will see you in the rapture in Jesus' name. This is The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on the Spirit Alive Network, right here on Blog Talk Radio. This is the Spirit Alive Network where you can be ye transformed in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you in Jesus' name. Make sure you tune in to all the shows we have for you this week in Jesus' name. God bless you. God bless you, Spirit Alive family. Love you in Jesus' name. God bless you all.
Have a great day.